We love good top 10 lists. You know we do. Today we have a top 10 that we did not create, but we're going to talk about.
Also known as Judge.
Absolutely. Welcome to Fantasy for the Ages, the show where a father, that's me, Jim, and a son,
that's me, Zach,
get together and talk about fantasy, science fiction, and other nerdy things we enjoy. We think you're going to like this episode today. If we're right, hit the like button. If we're not, well, thanks for coming. If you liked the show, though, don't forget to subscribe as well. We have a whole bunch more content coming out, and feel free to put in the comment box what you think of what we're putting out here for you. So, top 10 fantasy book series by sales. That's what we're talking about today. So, this is not necessarily, are these the best 10 fantasy series of all time? But these are the ones that have been purchased the most. They are, some could say, the most successful over time because so many people have bought so many freaking copies. In this list that we're referencing, which comes from bookriot.com, by the way.
So if it's wrong, it's their fault.
It's based on statistics they were able to pull out. It was pulled together in 2023, and this is early 2024. So it could be minor tweaks. I don't think enough to change this list. This is adult fantasy fiction. Okay, so all YA things are not on this list. You will not find Harry Potter. You will not find Twilight. You know, the things that really the tweens and teens went crazy over and therefore totally blew up the numbers, they're not here. These are books that are written for the adult reader. That's what we went with. We're adults. We thought we'd talk about those.
We'll see how many of them we've read.
Yes, and how many we agree with.
Now, I feel like this list is probably going to be a little bit biased towards older series, something that has come out and finished in the last 5 to 10 years, probably doesn't stand much of a chance, but that's because technically speaking, it hasn't sold as many copies. It hasn't had the time.
This is very true. Very true. But just because something came out this year and makes a splash doesn't mean it's going to have staying power.
It may, so but it's hard to tell.
I think it's a better criteria to have these books that have been around long enough to really get a following. You know, it's also true there are some excellent books that don't get much following until like the third book or fourth book comes out. Then people finally find it and they go back to the beginning and they read them all and they love it and the fandom goes crazy. But just that first book often is not enough to catch enough eyes.
So we're starting at the bottom or the top of the list?
We're starting at the bottom, absolutely. And I've read 8 of these that are on the list. I'm familiar with all of them. You've read most of them, but not all. And one of the ones I haven't read, you have. So this is interesting. The one at the bottom is one I've read, but you have not. The Kingkiller Chronicles by Patrick Rothfuss.
But I contributed to this statistic.
You bought it, but you haven't read it yet. So it has the first book, The Name of the Wind. Second book, The Wise Man's Fear.
The third book that has yet to be published. In there
too, and it comes in as the top 10. You know, it's the 10th most sales. Copies sold over 10 million since the first book was published in 2007.
You know what I think its biggest problem probably is with why it's only top 10 and not any higher? It's not as many books.
And he hasn't finished. You know, if he finishes, he drops that final book, these sales are going to explode. But I will say, I've read the Kingkiller Chronicles. It's partly an acquired taste. I enjoyed them. I'm not driven to reread them. And I mean, you kind of enter into a different feel when you read this kind of fantasy. There is something captivating about it, but at the same time, it's been fine to move on to other things. I'm totally glad I read them. And if the final one comes out, I'm totally there for it. But I think being down at number 10 is appropriate.
Fair enough. What's number 9?
Number 9, Mistborn, the original trilogy by Brandon Sanderson.
Okay. Now, some people would come at this and be like, that's YA. That doesn't belong.
Oh, that's not
I YA. Don't agree.
That's not YA. No, no, no. And this trilogy is also just a little over 10 million copies sold. So it just outpaces Patrick Rothfuss. Now keep in mind, with three books, just outpaces Rothfuss' two books.
Well, two plus two novellas. So four in terms of selling copies.
We like Mistborn, though. Mistborn's
I like it, and I think it makes sense that it's here not just for the sake of it, but also being Gateway Cosmere.
There you go. Number eight on the list, contentious one for many of our fans, Terry Goodkind's The Sword of Truth series, which tops over 25 million sold. Now, keep in mind, there are 15 books in the series.
This one is a longer series, and it is popular.
It is. And I've read most of those books. I think the last two or three I have not read, but the core of the series I completely read, and I actually liked what I've learned about the author.
Yeah, the biggest problems with this series is not the series.
Although, that said, as the series gets further and further in, it gets pretty depraved.
I didn't say there weren't problems with the series, just that the biggest problem is not the series.
Okay, okay. So, that was the Sword of Truth series that starts with Wizard's First Rule that came out in 1994. So, it's also been around longer than the ones at 9 and 10. That and gives you a chance to sell more, too.
It's had an adaptation.
It has. It wasn't very good.
I watched it.
Did you like it?
I enjoyed it, but I also enjoy trash. I don't think this adaptation necessarily drove people to, like, really go buy the books. But having an adaptation is an extra draw.
Okay. Next up on the list is one I haven't read, but you've read the first book. I think it's all you've read. Outlander by Diana Galbadon.
I have read the first book, and the second is waiting in my TBR relatively soonish.
Copies sold over 26 million. So just a little more than The Sword of Truth.
Let's add
and it was
in,
published farther back. 1991 is when that one came out.
Is when the first one came out.
Right.
This is still an incomplete series. There are 9 of the 10 core books that have come out. There are some other books that take place related and in with as well. Also has a very successful adaptation. All of these great contributing factors definitely belongs.
So there's only supposed to be one more book you're waiting for?
One more of that, like, core.
Sure.
There might be more around novels, but I believe it was always intended to be a 10-book series. There are 9. There's a 10th that
you,
is
by any
going
chance,
to be
know
published.
How long people have been waiting for the last book? I mean, is she currently actively writing, or has it been stalled out?
I think it's only been a few years.
Okay.
I want to say the most recent one was somewhere in, like, 2020, 2018, 19, something like that.
All right.
I could be wrong.
Number 7 on the list, the Dark Tower series by Stephen King. His fantasy epic starts with The Gunslinger, which came out in 1982. He wrote this series for like 30 years. It really stretches out over a big part of his career. Over 30 million copies sold. I've read this twice, most recently just last year. I reread it. And I think it's fantastic. It's so imaginative and creative, and it's not the typical Stephen King that some people think of. This is no It or Pet Sematary. I mean, this is truly epic fantasy with some really different kinds of angles and perspectives.
I do think the sales probably do get carried a little bit by the author name, though. I think there are people who buy at least the first book because it's a Stephen King book, and then maybe get hooked because they really enjoy it.
The Dark Tower demonstrates that Stephen King was Brandon Sanderson before there was a Brandon Sanderson. Because Stephen King, most of his works are all part of a Kingverse. Okay. Mm-hmm. And The Dark Tower has tie-ins to so many of his other books. It's all connected. And it's pretty like when you realize what's going on. Yeah. So like Sanderson's Cosmere. Okay. So that was number 7. Number 6, The Vampire Chronicles by Anne Rice.
Mm.
starting with The Interview with the Vampire, which was published all the way back in 1976. I didn't read it that long ago, but I did read Interview with Vampire many years ago. I think it was the 90s. We got a bit of a jump here. Over 80 million copies sold. So way more successful than The Dark Tower. Dark Tower has 7 books and a couple novellas. The Interview with the Vampire, we're talking 3 books.
Okay, it's not a whole lot of books.
Over 80 million.
So many people. I hazard to say maybe it's because paranormal vampire stuff is a little more approachable than hard, like lots of fantasy, fantastical fantasy. Mm-hmm. And so it appeals to more people than just fantasy readers.
So we're talking about Interview with the Vampire, The Vampire Lestat, and Queen of the Damned. They've all been adapted to film more or less successfully, depending on who you talk to. I believe they were all commercially successful. I really enjoyed them. I think the first book is the best of the three, but they're all still solid, and they do make one cohesive trilogy. The Queen of the Damned kind of makes it broader and a little bit goes off the hook with the story, but still fascinating. Really well done. I went on to read a lot more of Anne Rice because of this trilogy. I didn't like anything else she wrote. Let me finish that. As well as this. Okay. Vampire Chronicles are her best. I find her writing style shares a little bit with Tolkien in the extent of how she can go off talking about the beautiful architecture, the marvelous trees, that, you know, get
that lost in the tangential her prose
sometimes and come on, move the story along. And her books are bigger than Tolkien's, so that can get kind of after a while. But the plot's good. Okay, so far we've done the bottom 6, so that was actually number 5. Okay, The Vampire Chronicles.
And everything, for the most part, like, we can understand it, we can make sense. There's nothing we've disliked.
There's nothing we go, this does not belong in the top 10. Why have so many people bought this book? No, we don't.
At least have an explanation.
Yeah. So now we can get to one where I might disagree. I mean, you can't disagree with numbers, okay? But number 4 on the list is Discworld by Terry Pratchett. Starting with The Color of Magic in 1983, just a little more than The Vampire Chronicles. It's also over 80 million sold, but by the numbers is a little more. Now there's 41 books compared to Anne Rice's 3. Okay.
And it's a little bit comfort fantasy in the sense that if you really enjoy the world, if you get into it, you're going to want all 43, you said? 41?
41. And no, that's what part of the fun of it. There are people who love Discworld and totally agree that some of the books, now they're not worth reading. What?
Yeah, but I think most of the people who go, yeah, some of those, not worth reading, they've bought and read those books.
Yeah. Mike, at Mike's Book Reviews, he just recently started Discworld, and he heard the same thing I heard from so many when I tried Discworld. You're doing it wrong. Because the first book, The Color of Magic, is not very good. They basically will tell you, yeah, Terry Pratchett took a few books to figure out where he was going with this. So I've read the first 3 and nah, it's not working. And they're like, no, you have to go past those. I'm like, how many books in do you need to get before it to actually be worth it? Don't bring up the Dresden Files.
Pot kettle.
Anyways, regardless of my opinions, yeah, it's number 4 on the list. People are suckers. They're all short books, though. They're not big, thick ones. So you
should be able to get to 7 or 8 when things change and, like, enjoy it, no problem.
Oh, by the way, you have not read any of Discworld.
I've watched the miniseries adaptation of The Color of Magic that they did with Sean Astin, and I thought that was whimsical and fun.
Okay. They adapted the book that isn't even very good. Not even TV people know what they're doing. See?
It was fun.
Number 3 on the list is The Wheel of Time by Robert Jordan.
Yeah, makes sense. No problems here. We're good.
Yeah, 15 books. First one came out in 1990. Over 90 million copies are sold.
Add in extra sales from the adaptation finally taking off and getting people to read that first book again. If they get hooked, read more.
Yeah. You know, this doesn't take into account how many times people reread. This is perhaps the most reread series of all.
But Wheel of Time is definitely a series where people will buy or give the copy of the first book or the first couple to someone, and then especially if they just give a copy of the first book to somebody to read, we'll go and buy another to complete it on their shelf again.
Yeah. Number two on this list is slightly painful. I mean, I love it. It's a series I totally get, but for it to be ahead of The Wheel of Time is what's painful, because it's George R. R. Martin's A Song of Ice and Fire.
That makes absolute sense.
It's just barely eclipses it. Also, just over 90 million. The problem of why I'm like, oh, really? Is there's only 5 books. It's an unfinished series when The Wheel of Time has 15 books, is done. Clearly, that's saying in the mainstream, A Song of Ice and Fire is far more popular.
I mean, a Game of Thrones is far more popular than Wheel of Time, the show. We'll get there.
That's not because of the books.
No.
That's because of the show.
But that's what makes the book a better seller.
Possibly.
A Song of Ice and Fire, I believe, takes off and has the place it does as such a big seller because of the success of Game of Thrones.
That's
otherwise, it's a couple spots further down.
Our tracking numbers here are not tied to time. You know, we can't know, ooh, and now it took a spike here. But you're probably onto something with that. The number one is kind of a cheat. I mean, all honor to it. But The Lord of the Rings by J.R.R. Tolkien. It's been out since 1954. So
this is where you get the time bias.
So much longer. It's got over 150 million sold. So that's not even double A Song of Ice and Fire, which has only been out since 96. So, you know, give as much time to these more recent ones as Tolkien's work, and they're going to whip its butt.
Probably. But this gets into the other thing of, Tolkien has been able to be around and be published with new editions, like republishing it repeatedly for coming on closer to a century now. And whether it's as an edition of 3, a box set, all in one book, I can go to my local Barnes & Noble and still find new copies of The Lord of the Rings.
Oh, true. Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to be true of most of these things on this list in 70 years.
But we will not say that we're dismissing or dissing The Lord of the Rings in any way. We both agree. This is quality fiction. You don't enjoy it as much as I do because you like the movie better.
I feel bad saying it every time, but it's true.
I have read The Lord of the Rings many times, and I thoroughly enjoy it. But I don't think I'll reread it again, because there's so much else to read. And, I mean, how many times do I really need to read it?
But at the same time, every time I read something else, I feel like I'm reading The Lord of the Rings just a little bit.
We owe a lot. All of us fantasy fans owe a ton to J.R.R. Tolkien and this amazing work he put out there. So give it its place for number one. All hail the king. That's it. That's what we got. I thought I might throw in, though, their honorable mentions.
What's their honorable
mentions? The ones that have sold a lot, but aren't there yet. And these are not even ranked. They're just 10 more. And I look at it and I go, I think the people who wrote this list just wanted to
like
make sure
those series and wanted to bunch
of really good books. So that in their opinion.
It's just like, these need to be bought more. Please buy them.
Right, right. So I am not going to share most of these because I'm like, wow, they are so different than the 10. This is not, no. Most of these aren't going to be there. But there's a few I want to share. The Broken Earth trilogy.
Yeah. It's that very unique, and so I can see it having a lot of sales.
Babel by R.F. Kuang.
That suffers from being new, but is great.
Yeah, I knew you'd read that, so I thought I'd mention that one. The Atlas Six.
I've heard of it.
I've heard it's very good. I have not read it yet. And that's it. Of the 10 that they threw in there, I'm like,
that's
okay,
all you
the other 7?
Yeah.
We give shout-outs sometimes to books that we think are awesome, but nobody else is really into yet. No,
yeah.
So that's what that person did. 3 of them, I was like, hey, well, yeah, okay. I don't personally care for the Broken Earth trilogy much, but I'll admit it was quality writing. Still gave it some time on the channel. That's a nice spot to stop, yes?
We're good.
All right. Thanks for spending some time with us again today, Zach, with me, and with our viewers. It's nice for them to know you are still alive. Thanks for watching, everyone. We'll talk to you next time.